Hi, I'm Abby.
I'm Amy.
And this is the Just an Introvert podcast,
where we talk all things introvert.
I'm not mad at you.
I'm not shy. I'm just an introvert.
All right, everyone. Well, welcome back to Just an Introvert podcast. As always, I'm Abby.
I'm Amy.
And we have another special episode today. I'm going to let Amy talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing.
So we are going to, we're in an interview series, and we're going to have on this episode a special friend of mine. His name is Mark Rains. And actually, he met my husband first, and then I got acquainted with him through that. Mark's a really awesome guy. He has an amazing story. And so I thought it would be really cool to hear, his story and just, his views and thoughts on personality stuff. So, so here we go. This is our interview with Mark Rains. All right. We have a guest on today, a very special guest. It is Mark Rains. He's a friend of mine, but I actually met him through my husband, Niles. So Mark, tell us how you met Niles, first of all.
I was trying to remember. I think I have known Niles since 2004. He was actually going on a trip to Japan with the Toyota Teacher Program. And I had been on the trip the year before and had been invited back to speak to the new group, just tell them a little bit about my experience. And we ended up riding next to each other on the bus to the venue that I spoke at. I think it was in Huntington Beach, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And then a year late, gosh, like several years later, or actually a year later, we ended up both being selected to be chaperones to escort some of the top in math and science fair winners to the World's Fair in Japan. And so we spent a lot of time together on that trip for sure.
Very cool. And I heard so much about you. And then I feel like you and I connected even before in person, just online. And then of course in person, and now he's my number one meme sender. You always have someone that you send memes back and forth, and he's the one I know I can send anything to. You know, I have to kind of edit for certain people. I don't have to do that with Mark, so it's great.
I'm very proud of this honor.
Yes, you should be.
You're my top recipient in reverse as well. So I think we're in the same path on the situation.
Love that. All right.
And it's funny. Oh, sorry. I'm interrupted. It's so funny. I was telling Amy the other day, I'm like, I don't think I've ever met Mark in real life or otherwise, but I'm like, I feel like you're just so in the Carlin family lore that I feel like I already know you, but I'm like, I've never actually met him. So we were laughing about that.
I apologize for never being to Modesto, but we seem to meet up in really cool places like Monterey and San Diego and Disneyland. So those are pretty top notch.
Yeah. Mark lives in San Diego. So it's like, come on, you got to meet up there. So. All right. Well, we're going to get started with our two things that we do in our episodes. So the first one's an icebreaker, and Abby has that for us. So go ahead, Abby.
All right. Well, I picked a good one based on your conversation there. Okay, Mark, if you were a meme, what meme would you be?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, longtime listener, first time caller to the podcast, by the way. And I always think it's hilarious that you do icebreakers when it's one of the things you hate to do in real life the most.
Yep.
Oh, and I really hate to do it at work. Okay, meme. So I think the one that I use the most, and I probably feel like the most, is it's the little dog sitting in the middle of the fire. And I actually have that printed out and posted at my desk at work, which is in the front office. And it feels very applicable most of the time in the world, in my life. So that would be the one.
Yes, that's really such a good one.
For sure. Okay, and now I have a would you rather.
Oh, gosh.
And okay. So in a gym, and you're familiar with gyms.
Okay,
would you rather walk up to people and sit and watch them while eating a sandwich, or Bring in pink 5-pound dumbbells and work out with them looking like you are struggling.
I would have no problem eating in front of someone at the gym and staring at them. The pink dumbbells, I would just be laughing, so I think it'd be pretty obvious. But I have done that thing that's kind of similar, where it's a bicep curl exercise where you'll start from really the heaviest weight you can do and then work your way down to the smallest weights, and by the time you get there, it's really hard. And then it's hilarious because you are lifting like the smallest weights but having a really hard time doing it. So, but I think I'd eat in front of someone and stare them down. I don't care.
And what kind of sandwich would you be eating?
I think a Jersey Mike's, definitely. Don't they do Mike's Way? I
Yes.
love that.
Mike's is solid. I
I
love
would
it.
need bacon on there, so maybe like the turkey with bacon, something like that.
Ooh, good choice. Good choice. All right. Well, we're going to get into the questions and we're going to kind of take turns. We're going to tag team. So I'm going to start with a real basic one. So tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, first of all, I'll say this is the first podcast I've agreed to do, and it's primarily because Amy. So, see how this goes. I am a teacher. I have been a teacher, gosh, since 2000. And the majority of my teaching career, I taught TV and film production. I was a reporter and anchor in local news for about 10 years before I started teaching. So that's kind of my background. For the last year and a half, I've been a resource teacher at an art magnet school. And the two primary things I do, I'm not in the classroom anymore. I go in the classrooms a lot, but my primary roles are to help integrate art into the academic classes, but also to market and recruit for our school. We are a magnet school of choice, and so we recruit students from all over San Diego County who have an interest in everything from music to dance to theater to visual art.
That's so cool. I love the subjects you teach. It sounds so much fun. And of course, you teach in an amazing area.
And it's really fun now that I'm in a different role outside the classroom. A lot of my job is creating content for our website and for our social media. So I'm back more in the role of creator. But I also have students who intern for me that I did teach in the classroom, because it's a 6th through 12th grade school. So there'll be kids there for a really long time that I taught. And so I get more one-on-one interaction, mentoring them and teaching them the career skills that I'm actually using for my job now too.
Oh, very cool. Awesome.
Very interesting. I love all the little specialties that teachers can have. I'm married to a teacher, parents are a teacher. Teachers are just everywhere in our family. So I love all the little specialties you guys have. It's really cool. All right. So tell us a little bit about what your life looked like growing up.
So my dad was in the Navy, and we moved about every 2 or 3 years. So I went to a lot of schools. I was born in Monterey, California, which is where I see Niles and the crew every once in a while. And then, gosh, we lived West Coast to East Coast, to the South, to Hawaii. And probably the biggest switch on those lines was going from high school in Hawaii to high school in Mississippi. And those kind of abrupt changes. So it was really interesting as a teenager in particular to move so much. I learned a lot through it. It was hard at the time, but it's definitely been really good for me long term as an adult. I learned a lot of things for sure.
Oh, wow. Hawaii to where did you say? Mississippi.
Mississippi. And
It's
I had
quite a
come
switch.
from the South to Hawaii, so it was like this whiplash
Wow.
twice, you know,
Oof.
and just really wild.
Oh,
Yes.
that's crazy.
Oh.
All right. So tell us, are you an introvert or extrovert?
So I first took the Myers-Briggs test, oh, like 16 years ago through my church. They have this annual conference, and for a long time, two of the focuses were learning your Myers-Briggs, and then StrengthFinders is another personality test. And so the first year that I went to the conference, I took the test, and I was living in a house with three friends, and we all turned out to be introverts, I'm pretty sure. And I didn't really understand because I thought, well, this is kind of wild because my career and passions in a lot of ways have been extroverted. I was a reporter and anchor on television. When I was from elementary school to high school, I was into theater and drama and speech. So those are very out front things. And then also, I was now a teacher, which you're on all the time, right, in the classroom. And so, but when I started to learn more about introverts and extroverts through Myers-Briggs, I really discovered how much it is involved with where you're fueled. And for me, that is mostly alone or with individuals. I tend to shy away from large groups, big gatherings. I love to read. I love to be by myself. I live by myself, and I have for a while, and I really like that. I was just on a trip where I was staying with other people for 10 days, and it was like, oh wow, that was a lot. And so once I really started to find out that introversion wasn't just necessarily how you are towards other people or in front of other people, that it's just as much where you're fueled and what helps you do other things, that I was like, oh, this totally makes sense. And so it's helped me a lot in life since I've discovered it, just knowing that I have to recharge, that I need that time by myself. When I was a teacher, I always had lunch alone in the dark in my classroom. And that's one thing I don't get to do in my new job lately, and I've kind of miss it, is just sitting there alone for 30 minutes of quiet in the midst of before and after having kids going wild. So definitely an introvert, but I've had pretty extroverted careers, and I've read that's really common with a lot of performers in particular.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of actors being interviewed, and a lot of them are introverts, and it just surprises me. But yeah, it's how you're fueled, and I can relate to the lunchtime. I do try to eat with coworkers just so I'm not completely, just out of the loop because I'm already bouncing from school to school. But occasionally I'll eat in my car and be like, this is what I need.
Yeah, I definitely go sit in my car. I'm a nurse, so I'm like, yep, I'm gonna step out and physically be unavailable for my lunch and be all by myself, and it's amazing. I wanted to kind of touch on what you were saying about growing up, being in so many different areas. Do you feel like different locations, like the way of life, was more introvert or extrovert prevalent, or did you notice differences in that?
Well, once I, got the official, results that I was an introvert, a lot of my childhood made more sense, because we would move new places, and we would move in the summer, and I wouldn't have friends for like a really long time either, especially in the summer, because you don't really meet other kids when you first get there necessarily, unless they're your direct neighbor. And then even when school starts, it takes time before you have close friendships or people you're going to do stuff with outside of school. So I really did spend a lot of time by myself, reading, watching TV, those kind of things. I was not an athlete as a kid, so I didn't have this immediate culture of having a team to join either. And it wasn't until, gosh, like junior high and high school that really, like, theater, drama, journalism, and yearbook, and those kind of things that I excelled at were really, really possible. And so, but I did okay. Like, when I think about it now, it's like, oh, but I actually didn't mind being by myself during a lot of that time and had a lot of fun doing things that fueled me, and reading and creating stuff.
Yeah,
That
very
makes
cool.
sense.
I'll let you go next, Amy. Sorry, I threw a curveball
Okay.
in there. I just wanted
No,
to
it's
ask.
okay. We're good at pivoting here. Okay, so what was a life-changing event for you?
Oh, so I probably had several. I lost my dad in 2019, and then I lost my mom in 2020 during COVID. Those two back to back. My dad's was pretty shocking, like complications from a pretty routine surgery. And then my mom had been battling cancer for almost 7 years when she passed away from ovarian cancer. So those two are pretty big. And particularly with my mom dying, right in the heart of COVID in 2020. And then I was kind of stranded alone in my parents' home for a year in rural North Carolina, before I could get a job back and move back to San Diego. So those are pretty intense. Before that, Amy knows a little bit about this. In 20, about 2011, my speech was impaired kind of out of nowhere. Like it sort of sounded like maybe I'd had a stroke or something, but I hadn't. And so for a year I was teaching, but trying to find out what was going on with my speech. I was having trouble forming words, sounded like a pretty severe stutter, went to neurologist, speech therapy, all those kinds of things. And then eventually after a year, a neurologist tried me on Parkinson's medication, and that pretty much corrected my speech within a week. And I've been on it since 2011. I don't have any other symptoms of Parkinson's. So as far as we know, it's a Parkinson's like symptom. Usually speech is a later component of that disease. But for the most part, as long as I'm on the medication, my speech stays fluid. But it has when I there's a period of time when I was caring for my mom where I didn't have my medication for a week, and the speech impediment came back full steam. And it took a couple of weeks back on the meds to smooth it out again. But as someone who was always a public speaker professionally, that speech problem was a really big deal and pretty scary. But also during that time, it was really cool that I had kind of learned about my personality and being introverted, and realizing, hey, when I'm at the cashier, I don't have to talk to the I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to make small talk with people if I don't want to, because it wasn't easy to. And so I really started becoming very picky and particular about when and how I talk to people, because it wasn't easy to do. And I think a lot of that's kind of carried on since.
That's amazing to figure that out. And how did it affect you, like, as a speaker, once you started, regaining your speech back? Did it mess with your confidence? Did it take time to get back to where you were?
So I've given four public speaking engagements since my speech problem, and I used to do it a lot more. So I spoke at two TEDx events, which were very stressful, very stressful. And then I spoke at both of my parents' funerals. I did just read at those instead of like memorizing something. So really, those are the only two public speaking engagements I've done since, outside of my classroom. And yeah, I definitely developed more of a fear of public speaking. I had that a lot when I was growing up, like most people do. Even people who are really good at public speaking, you'll still get really nervous, you get sick to your stomach, really scared, all this. I had all of that growing up. But I was still able to do it, and it usually went really well. And so now I think there's still just a little bit of a block in that, and maybe just less of a desire to do it because it feels more stressful.
Gotcha. My next question, I mean, you answered a little bit, but I'm thinking more in terms of your energy. So, how did you overcome difficult times in your life? And I'm thinking about how that medication affected you and how you, overcame that.
Yeah, I think so. When I got on Parkinson's medication, the biggest side effect for me, I'm trying to think how old I was. I was 41. And so the average person who takes that medication is probably in their 60s. And so from the very beginning, I noticed the main side effect was it messed with my sleep. And then it also kind of made me tired most of the time. And I tried a bunch of different Parkinson's medications over the course of like a year, and you kind of have to go off of one and come on the other one and cross over. So sometimes I would be on two medications, but they all made me more tired than the original one, and so I eventually ended up back on the original medication. But what I started doing, I was waking up so early, whether I wanted to or not, because just like my sleep was all out of whack. And so I finally realized, well, I've worked out since my 20s. And I've always really enjoyed it. And actually, because of everything that had been happening with my speech and then this medication, I'd kind of been not going to the gym as much because it's just a lot to process and going on. And but I realized that I'm awake at 5 a.m. I have nothing else to do. The gym's open. And so, and I read this book that talked about how impactful, excuse me, that like exercise and working out and those kind of things can be for your mind, body, and spirit. And so I started going every day at 5:30 in the morning, and it gave me an energy boost that would really help me till about lunchtime. And so, gosh, that was in 2012. And so for the most part, since then, I've worked out in like some way every day. It could be walking, it could be running, it could be the elliptical, it could be weights, but just something to kind of get me going.
That's awesome.
Cool.
And I know you have a brand deal. Did that come from you going back to the gym? Was that about that time period?
Yeah, so I'd say a few years after that, I started doing Instagram and posting content based on my fitness and how I'd worked out. And I was a really skinny, non-athletic kid. And so for me to now be more of someone who's like so focused on fitness and a lot, and I had done some in my 20s, but now it was like all the time. That, yeah, a supplement company, Metabolic Nutrition, discovered me on Instagram. And this was in kind of in the early days of Instagram, I feel like. And they offered me a sponsorship deal, and I've been with them since 2015. And it really has helped me a ton, especially with protein and all my vitamins. And pre-workout is like my primary caffeine that I use to kind of help with the drowsiness too. I actually like it better than like coffee or soda. I do those too, but it's more like vitamins, caffeine, and I'll use it just as like my afternoon boost, not necessarily before the gym. But it's been really incredible to have a company support me and just want me to share with others my fitness journey, less about sales and more about a change in my life that's helped me and could help other people too.
That's really cool. And you're my Instagram friend that has tons of followers. I feel like you have the little blue check next to your name, so feel kind of famous that you follow me, but
It's all less than it seems, probably.
well,
But
it
I've
looks good.
enjoyed it. It's been really, to me, the things that I've really enjoyed about Instagram is it was a great way to share my story, share my faith with people. I was able to introduce my parents to people around the world when they were having their struggles, my mom with her cancer, my dad when he was hospitalized. And it was really cool for people to get to hear about them,
That's really
around the world. And for me to hear from people that they were praying for my mom, or that she inspired them in their cancer fight and things like that. So that's been really cool. And then it's been a really neat creative outlet. Which now I've been able, which, I was able to take it to work and use it with my students as far as like social media. But then also now that's a lot of what I do in my current job too, is share what's going on at our school on our Instagram.
Very cool.
That's so cool. All right, so tell us a little bit about what brings you joy.
Let's see. Well, food. But that's just that's one of the things Amy and I connect on.
Yep. Fans.
But to more serious, I would say it's two things. Quality time with people I care about, one-on-one or one-on-two, something like a small group of people. And that's one of the things I was talking about earlier that I really discovered in learning more about Myers-Briggs. And I've actually, after I went through that course at my church and learn more about Myers-Briggs and StrengthFinders, I started teaching groups in those classes on there. So I've studied it a lot, and introverts really like close conversations with people. And so I know that about myself. If I can connect with someone that I'm really close to, that brings me a lot of joy. Amy hates the phone. I would say I think I'd be interested if and a lot of introverts do, right? But I would be interested if Amy was not near her husband, her children, and her family. Like a lot of my really close friends and family live all over the country. And so for me to be able to connect with them on the phone occasionally and have like a 30-minute like debrief of what's going on in our lives, that's really important to me and I really enjoy it. And then conversely, the other thing that brings me joy is being alone at the beach listening to my music.
Yes, you always make me
Absolutely.
jealous of your beach stories every night and every morning.
I try to, I said, when I moved closer to the ocean now almost 2 years ago, and during the school year, I was like, that's it. I'm going every morning. This is how I'm starting. On my teacher's summer, the mornings aren't happening. But I started going at night instead.
Awesome.
Well, you can call me, Mark. I will answer the
Well,
phone for you.
I
Or
do
if you
tell for a little, I do tell people here in San Diego, because I like if they live here, I'll
Yeah.
see them and we'll talk and
Right.
stuff, right? So it's more like people that live away. But I have told close friends in San Diego, like, if I call and it has not been prearranged, you should answer because it's serious. Because otherwise, I would just text you. Just
Yeah, Riley and I, we have this anxiety when someone calls. I'm like, oh my gosh, who's dead? My mind goes to the worst case scenario. But yeah, that's okay. So, who, what, or who inspires you?
It's a really good question. I think when I look at like people that I follow on Instagram, it's overcomers, people who have gone above and beyond in spite of or because of difficult things that have happened to them in their lives. My parents were huge inspirations along those lines. And so yeah, that's what I really look to. And then really my faith. A lot of my close friends are pastors, and they inspire me. And then anyone who lives their faith out loud without being offensive or obnoxious or tearing other people down. I really respect people who can share their faith, whatever it may be. Mine's Christian, but whatever their faith may be, in a real, authentic, caring, loving way, that really inspires me, and that's what I hope I try to do.
Awesome. Very cool.
Very neat. What would you, if someone needed advice on, similar struggles that you've had, what advice would you give them?
I think the biggest piece of advice I would have is you have to ask for help. I'm a single guy. I like to take care of my own business and not have to ask people for help. I was always good about asking my parents for help, but I think everyone is. I think that's like the go-to, right? But when my speech was impaired, at first, I was really trying to hide it. Like I was trying to hide at work. I didn't tell my administrators. I wasn't telling the students what was going on. And I thought I was masking things pretty well, I thought, for weeks. I wasn't. People were talking about it, but just not to me. But the switch that happened when I told my students what was going on, when I went to my principal and told him what was happening, and then his reply was, "What do you need? How do we make this work for you? How do you keep teaching?" And that's what I saw time and time again, like. Friends would go to serious doctor's appointments with me. I was on the phone with I think an insurance provider, and speaking of phone calls were horrible when my speech was impaired and like voice automated answering machine things, right? I'm like zero, 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 zero. And I re just remember having this woman that was helping me with my health insurance, and something had been rejected, or I was trying to get more speech therapy or something along those lines. But it was like I was going to have to make two more calls to make this work out. She's like, "Hey, just hold on a second." She's like, "Let me get your number. I'm going to make these calls for you, and I'm going to call you back and tell you what you need to do." And so, that is like those kind of things were happening the more and more I said, "Hey, I can't do this by myself." And that was a big switch for me. I still don't always like to do it. But it really does matter.
I'm wondering, I'm the same way. And is that more of like an introvert thing? I'm wondering. I don't know if that's hard
Don't
for
know.
everybody, but I have a terrible.
I feel like we tend to try to like survive on the bare minimum as far as like interaction and
Interaction.
asking. It's like, okay, like when you walk into a store, like, oh, do you need help with anything? And you're like, nope, I'm good.
Nope.
And then you'll look for 30 minutes by yourself when they could have shown you. It's like, I don't need it, you know. So I find myself doing that.
That's a good point.
That
I don't know. It could just I also thought, which wouldn't apply to, I just like a stupid guy. That's like me, like men, like just don't like to ask for help. Like, I don't know. Could be that too.
pretty. All right, and then our last question for you is, are your friends mainly extroverts, introverts, or like a mix of both?
Think it's a mix. When my church was using Myers-Briggs as a tool a lot more at this annual conference, oh man, all of my friends like identified as these things a lot, to the point of where I felt like people were using it as a excuse for bad behavior. Like, same with you guys did the Myers-Briggs test, the P versus the J. So I'm a P. I'm a hard P, as I like to call it. And so, but one of the attributes of someone that has that in their Myers-Briggs profile is, you kind of go the long route to things, and you it's like someone that's a J would go from here to here in a straight line. Someone that's a P kind of like goes all over the place, but that doesn't mean they don't get there on time necessarily. Where a lot of people are like, "Oh, I'm a P, so I'm always late," and things like that. But that's not necessarily the case. So I don't have a lot of my friends that really talk about it lately, but I feel like I have a lot of extroverted friends, and I think sometimes that's helpful. But I do think there's more of a mix, and maybe it's just the extroverted friends I see more. They're more available.
More wanting to get together and
Yeah.
makes sense.
Do you notice a difference in as far as the friends that you have that live closer to you versus the more long distance? Do you notice extrovert, introvert in those relationships?
Wow. I think my two closest friends who are long distance, lifelong friends, one of them is extrovert to the extreme, to the point of, "Okay, we need a break." In person. And so, yeah, I do think it's a mix. And it's not relative to in person or far. My best roommate that I had, we were roommates for 3 years. The first 2 years were with some other guys, and then the third year was just the two of us, and we were both introverts. And we could sit in the morning and have breakfast and in complete silence in front of each other, and that was amazing. And then one of us just might say like one sentence, and the other be like, "Oh yeah," and that would be.
And you still had a great breakfast.
That'd be a great morning.
Amazing.
When I used to work out in the mornings and had a later start to work at my original school in San Diego, I might not talk to anyone unless I called my parents back then. I might not talk to anyone until I got to school at 11:30, and I would have been to the gym, had breakfast, had lunch, and never have said anything to anyone, and been really happy about that. And then when I got this job and I had a first period 8 a.m. class, it was like a shock to my system. Oh my gosh, they want all of me now.
They can't read the room very well.
I have not had enough caffeine for this, and I've already had two doses,
Great. Okay, so we have a few fun little this or that kind of rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Yeah. So, first one, flying or road trip?
Ooh, gosh. So I've done both quite a bit. I think, and I've done both road trip with someone, and I've done or some multiple people, and I've also done it by myself. They both have pros and cons for sure. I think road trip with someone I want to spend the time with. But like when I go to Monterey, usually at Christmas time, I actually like the drive up, and I like that I can just bring whatever I want in my car and not have to worry about what can go on the plane and what can't go on the plane. So it's probably situational.
That is one nice thing. We just got back from a road trip and it is a lot of driving, but you don't have to stress about, oh, I got to fit this and this, what you bring home. You're like, I just throw it in the trunk. But
I try to be a carry-on person. And so, that's a Tetris thing in getting everything in your bag. But then if anything is added, it's a whole other scenario.
Exactly. That's
Oh,
true.
gosh. Okay. And then tacos
If I had kids, you'd be like, who's your favorite child?
burritos?
That's what this Oh, man, this is very controversial. I live in San Diego. Do I have to choose? So I will. Okay, I'll go on. I have tacos more than burritos. I save California burritos for special treats. It's way more carbs, and I try to watch my carb intake. And so I will most likely have tacos on corn tortillas more than burritos. I'm not going to say they're my favorite, though.
Gotcha. Well, there
That's
is a lot more
fair.
pictures of tacos, but I understand that's.
Burritos, they're special. They have like the place in my heart, and there's a time and place for them, and they have to be good.
Yeah.
Here's a hot take. I don't like a Chipotle burrito. I want a Chipotle bowl. Something about their tortillas, not a fan. But love a Chipotle bowl. And I love burritos from the taco shops here in San Diego. Shout out to Roberto's, best California burrito near me. Amazing.
Awesome. Okay. Marvel or DC?
Oh my gosh, what?
Amy wrote these just to be clear, so I think these are a little
100%.
pointed.
Okay. I grew up a DC fan. Aquaman is my lifelong favorite superhero. Because I'm an ocean kid, and the Super Friends were like my favorite show as a kid. As an adult, I've been a huge Marvel fan and the movies. My Instagram is California Thor. I apparently have some Thor tendencies, and there's a lot of toys in my home and places that say Thor. Present day, we don't know what the new DC is going to be like, folks. It's rebooting in July. Present day, I'm going to go with Marvel with an asterisk of Aquaman still the OG.
Gotcha.
No, good. Good answer. Book or movie?
What is wrong with this podcast? These are horrible questions. What are you doing to me?
These harder than the actual questions we ask?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. Book or movie? Dang. Which comes first? All right, hold on. I'm gonna go movie. I mean, it's my career. I've been teaching film and television for a really long time. I think I see more movies than I read books now, predominantly.
Fair. Okay, spicy or mild?
Spicy.
I see. Yeah.
I will say the older I get, the more it attacks back.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep.
I feel like I'm probably in the more I'm in the medium zone, you know,
Medium.
like the
That's
Oh, that's
funny.
good.
All right, drive-through or DoorDash?
Oh man. Gosh, DoorDash is so expensive. In California keeps adding like charges on top of charges. I'm gonna go with DoorDash. The convenience is amazing. When I was at my parents' home by myself during COVID, they lived in kind of rural North Carolina. I couldn't even get a pizza delivered. And so when I first got back to San Diego, oh man, I spent so much money on food delivery because I hadn't been able to do it in a while.
Fair, fair.
Good,
And
yeah.
it's a very introvert friendly thing.
Oh my
Yes.
gosh. And just like if I can just not leave my home for a day, sometimes that's amazing.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yep.
Okay, last one. Sports game or music concert?
Music concert. I like to see sports of teams that I really enjoy. But I do love music concerts. And I'll say the problem is they're so expensive now that I don't feel like I get to go to them as much as I would like to of artists that I like. But I love it when I can.
Very good. All right. Well, that takes us to our very last two things that we ask at the end. So we always share an awkward moment that of the week or that we've experienced recently. So what's an awkward moment that you've experienced?
When I listen to your podcast and you share your awkward moments, I usually try to think of one of my own, and most of the time I can't, but I think it's because I'm so used to my life being so awkward that it's to the point now where I can't necessarily pinpoint one.
Distinguish.
It's like this blur of, oh wow. You know that character from Family Matters? Did I do that? I feel like that a lot. But I do have a good one from I think about a week ago. So I was at a family reunion, and it was in a big home. It's like a home that was converted into a hotel. And so two of my aunts, my uncle, and a bunch of my cousins were actually staying in that home as a hotel, but then the reunion was also there at this home. And so we'd had this huge barbecue dinner, which is what we do. It's like pulled pork and all the sides in North Carolina. I don't know how many people, but at least 50 or 60 people there. And so I went to go get a drink from the refrigerator, and the main party was over. People were just hanging out. I opened the refrigerator door. And this huge Tupperware container, like this big, of something called Brunswick stew, which is a side with barbecue in North Carolina and amazing, just came right out at me, like just slid straight at me, hit my shorts, got all over my shorts, went down to the floor, spread on the floor, got on my feet and flip-flops, and then was just like on the floor. And all I did was open the refrigerator door and it just came right for me, right? So, and this is a chance to vindicate myself publicly, by the way. I save what I can of the Brunswick stew. There's a good percentage still in the container. There's a percentage on the lid of the container. So I'm like taking the lid, pouring what's left in the container. I get it to the sink. One of my family members is nearby. He's helping me save what we can of the stew. Meanwhile, my other cousin goes over there and I gave him paper towels and he's starting to like pick up the excess stew that's on the floor with the paper towels. Now my next thing is, okay, I have the stew all over my nice shorts and I'm traveling, right? So I'm like, okay, I have to get this off now or it's going to stain because Brunswick stew is red and these were like gray shorts. So I'm cleaning it off my shorts, cleaning it off my legs, my feet, all the stuff. So I get back over to the refrigerator. My other cousin says, "Hey, give me the wipes." And I'm like, "Well, let me know, where's the mop?" And she was staying in the house. I'm like, "Where's the mop? I'll mop it up." She's like, no, I'll just use these wipes." Okay. Fast forward to later that night, my aunts and my cousins are all griping to me and out loud that I didn't clean up the mess. And they're giving me like a real hard time about it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I saved this. First of all, this happened to me, by the way. I didn't put it in the refrigerator. I did not cause this travesty of stew. It hit me. I saved some of it. I had to get it off my shorts. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't clean up this. I'm like apologizing. If that's what needs to be said, I'm sorry I didn't clean up the stew. I did the best I could in the circumstances, but I need to remind you, this happened to me. I did not cause this incident. And my cousin's wife admitted she's the one that put the teetering thing of stew in this weird position in the refrigerator where it all over me.
Gosh. All I'm picturing is the Kevin's chili from The Office. That's what I'm visualizing has
Was
happened.
very similar, except, might I add, Kevin spilled the chili.
Fair.
This attacked me. All I did was open the door.
You were a victim. Yes.
Thank you. Say it louder so they can hear it in North Carolina.
That's a
Oh,
good one. That's a
yeah.
good one.
Man. All right. And then do you have a recommendation for us? It could be anything, a show, movie, food, whatever, something that you're really into right now.
Okay, I think since I did pick movie over books, gosh, man, I'm a teacher. Okay, but I teach film, so it makes sense.
Works.
I would say my biggest recommendation is for people to go back to the movie theaters. I feel like it was starting before COVID, but since COVID, so many people are not going to the movies. And I think about my students. For the first part of my teaching career, it was so fun. I could come to school and talk about the movies that are out now with my students because they would be into film and go see them too. And now it's just becoming more and more common where people are just streaming and not actually going to the theater experience, which I think is so valuable. I love streaming too. I watch a lot of things that are streaming for sure. I'm always giving Amy recommendations that she may or may not ever watch. We'll see.
I do some,
It's a hot take.
but you give me a lot.
She has this list that's like this that she's getting to. But so I've seen three movies so far this summer already. Thunderbolts, very fun. Lilo and Stitch, set in Hawaii, amazing recreation. Love some Disney too. And then what's the last one I saw? Gosh,
Think
was it with a
was
B?
it Karate Kid?
Oh, Karate Kid Legends. Amazing. And I'm probably going to see finally Mission Impossible tomorrow. I will say I see more movies in the summer just because I have the time, but I probably go to at least one movie in the theater a month during the school year.
There, our theaters are starting to do a Mystery Monday where it's a movie that's going to be released, but they don't tell you what it is. They don't tell you the genre, but it's $5. And I've always wanted to do it, but I have no time in the school year because Monday staff meeting. But I'm really tempted this summer to do it and just
Oh
be like,
wow,
yeah,
what
that'd
am
be
I gonna
fun.
see?
And I mean, with $5, worst case scenario, you could walk out like and not feel
Exactly.
totally
Yeah.
bad about it if it's horrible.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good. I agree. I'm starting to go to the theater a little more. In fact, I think Riley and I are going to go see Megan this week.
Oh,
She's into the
see,
horror movies, and
you're a
I will
good
go
mom.
with her.
No, what? So that is the one thing that I do feel like my students do still watch a lot. Horror is really big with teenagers. I don't know if it always has been or it's more so now, but it seems like it's more. And my standard response is the real world is scary enough. I can watch the news, which I feel like we need to a certain extent, and be just as horrified without paying someone to scare the crap out of me in the movie theater. And this could be an introversion thing, I'm not sure, but those images and those stories in horror movies get stuck in my head, man. And It'll take a few days to go away.
And I will not do like the slasher, the gory. Like I like psychological, like more thriller type of things. And so Riley usually can't find someone to go with her. So I'm like, I'll go because I love the movie popcorn. So
How much do you close your eyes? That's the
I don't close my eyes, but I plug my ears because the sound scares me. So I'm always like
Yeah, I won't go. It's very rare.
I can't do it either. I scare easily, so it's just like I'm like on edge the whole time. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't enjoy that experience. Oh, that's why I said you're a good mom. I don't know if I can do that for my kids. We'll see, but oh.
I think for me it's more the mind, and it's funny because the psychological I think bothers me even more
Yeah.
because it does stay with me. I just There's this movie called Monkey Shines that I saw in the 80s that I've never gotten over, where it's like the monkey is the man's support pet and it helps him do everything, but they end up sharing minds and he starts doing like really awful things to people. I saw that in like 1989 or 90, and
Yikes.
it is still there.
Back when movies were a wild ride, I look at the ratings now and I'm like,
Yeah, it's, oh, you have to be really careful when showing a PG movie in public school today because a PG movie from the 80s or 90s is very different than
Oh,
a PG
yeah.
movie now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've watched things like as a kid and then later in life thinking, oh, I'm going to show my kids. And you watch it again, you're like, oh, I did not catch that
I
back
started finally realizing I could look up those parent advisory
Oh,
websites on
yes.
movies to see if there's something that I, without having to rewatch the whole movie again before I show it in class, see if there's something I don't remember that's in there that I don't want to watch with my students or show in class, even though they've seen way worse, but they don't
Yeah.
need to see it with me
School.
necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point.
Gosh.
Well, this has been so fun, Mark. Thanks for coming on our podcast.
Yeah,
It's
thank
an
you so
honor
much.
that you were willing to sit down and chat with us. And we're thankful that you're a faithful listener and you give feedback. And I love that. You're
We
usually
talk about
nicer than my brother.
that's amazing.
True. Gives us little pointers, but it's okay. He's our unofficial quality control, so whatever.
And how much status do those does that feedback get from you guys?
Are you referring to yours or to my father's?
Your dad.
Oh gosh.
We listen, but we still do our thing.
Well,
I
I'm
think he
grateful.
tries to find things to
Yeah, he
mess with
does.
us, or he
Yeah.
always is like, I gotta mention the podcast. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, no,
He gets
it's
very
because
excited.
he's, yeah, my brother, her dad, he's gotta, give us a hard time, but
Of
I
course. Enjoyed the family episodes.
oh
And
yeah,
then
no.
I have enjoyed the TV show ones. And I think it's interesting when you guys are trying to determine just based on, what they do and say and stuff in the show or whatever. That's kind
Yeah.
of what it feels like when you're asking me about my friends, if they're extroverted or introverted, because people don't talk about it necessarily a lot, right?
True.
So then I'm just like trying to think, and I'm like, well, but I'm sure people assume because of what I do, I'm extroverted.
Yeah.
So you just don't know, right? Like it's really
Totally.
wild.
Right. Good point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much again for joining us. And yeah, we look forward to sharing this episode. And oh, before we leave, what is your Instagram handle so people can follow you?
At California underscore Thor.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Mark.
Great
And
to
we
be
will
on.
see you
Thank
guys next time. Bye.
you. Thank you for listening. Music for Just an Introvert Podcast is by Jesse Miller. You can find us on Instagram at Justin Introvert Pod and on X at Introvert Pod 19. You can email us at justinintrovertpod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star review. We'll see you next time.